Ezekiel chapter number 8. In Sunday school, Sunday, we was talking, and I looked over in Ezekiel chapter number 8, and this verse just stood out to me, and I want to try to preach to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Ezekiel chapter number 8, verse number 1, when you have it, say amen. Bible said, and it came to pass in the sixth year, the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, and likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. Amen. You know, if you look at a job application, or if you go for a job interview, and I know 99.9% of the interviews I've ever had haven't had as many as some, but when it comes down to it, what they want to know is, what kind of experience do you have in this field? You know, a lot of folks don't want to take the time to train somebody or to give them the knowledge that they need to be able to perform the tasks that need to be done. What they're looking for is that somebody that can come in that maybe don't know all about their system but can pick it up real quick and has a working knowledge of how things go on. I mean, if I was an employer and I had two candidates and both of them had the same backgrounds and had the same academic levels, maybe one excelled above the other, but the one that did not excel had experience, I'd normally go with experience. Amen. That hands-on. I've seen folks in the pharmacy field that went for, 5 years of college. They know every drug name. They know how they work supposedly. But when they get behind that counter, things are different. It's hands-on. It's knowing how to deal with people. It's knowing where things are, insurance information, computers, and it pays to have experience. Amen. Ezekiel writes to us, and in chapter number 8, he says, I was in my house. And there he had that visitation. And the Bible said he saw one that looked like a fire. Amen. From his loins up. And amen. Said he was the color of amber. Oh, what an experience Ezekiel had. I mean, some say it was the Lord he saw. Some say it was an angel. But you can say for surely he had a visitation from on high. Amen. Whether it was the angel or the Lord himself, I cannot tell. Amen. But I do know that Ezekiel had the glory come right down. And notice this was not in the sanctuary. It was not in some spiritual gathering somewhere. Amen. With all the saints of God had came together and they were lifted up praise, but it was in his house. That the Lord will help us for a little while. I want to talk to you about having a spiritual experience at home. I appreciate every move of God, amen, that comes in the house of the Lord. I appreciate every time the Lord has come by and dealt with hearts, and the glory of the Lord is filled in the house of God. And I know we're not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves, but to come and worship the Lord in the sanctuary. Amen. To set aside time. Amen. On a weekly basis. And amen. At other times to come together. And oh, how God has blessed us. I said, how God has blessed us to have a place of worship. But can I tell you, the church would be a whole lot better if folks did their homework. Come on now. I said the church and the environment of the church would be a whole
lot better if folks did their homework. I mean, we're asking people to come in and get right into the presence of the Lord that have not entered in all week long. They have not taken time to pray and read their Bible. They have not called upon the Lord. Oh, but can I tell you, it's going to be those experiences at home. Amen. We spend more time in the house than we do the church house. We spend more time around family. Amen. Than we do anybody else. And I'm telling you, we need those types of experiences where God moves on us at home. I wrote down some things. I forgot about it. Amen. But I wrote down some things here in the little notebook that I got. And I remember my daddy and mama talking about my papa and my grandmother Bridges. And my mama said that she seen her shout a couple of times in the house of God. And the power of God come on her. She seen her shout as a young lady, as children when they were growing up. Amen. But she said, I seen her shout more in the kitchen than I ever did in the house of the Lord. Amen. Said she'd get to praying and cooking, get to singing and calling upon the name of the Lord. And said the Lord would come down in that place and shout my mama. Amen. I heard my dad talk about my Papa Bridges and said he'd remember when he'd go over to court, my mama go out on a date. And sometimes they come in and before he left, he said, Papa Bridges always said, okay, James, we're going to pray that you have a safe journey back home. And he said, that old man would get down and he'd get to praying. And he said, sometimes he'd feel that power of the Lord come down in that house. I tell you, I want that type of experience that I don't have to wait till I get to the church house. Amen, but I can have it in my house and in my life on a daily basis. Amen. I remember as a young boy when I was growing up, didn't know nothing about prayer. Didn't know nothing about church. Didn't go to Sunday school. Amen. Didn't go to worship service. We just didn't go. Church wasn't a part of our lives. Amen. Our lives were based around sports and around pleasure, around just fulfilling our own, amen, pleasures in life. But I remember my uncle used to come down and they visited my grandma. I remember one time in particular, I was about 6 years old, and I was sleeping in the room where they were. And I noticed him get down, and he began to pray. I didn't know what he was doing. Amen. I asked him what he had lost and what he was looking for. Amen. I remember for the very first time in my life that I can recall, Brother Arthur, at 6 years old, my uncle led me in prayer. Come on now. I'm telling you, that's the way it ought to be. A family that has devotion together. A family that prays together. A family that experiences the glory of God. Amen. In their hearts and lives at home. There'll be a family that makes it. There'll be a family that holds on, even during times of hardship, even during times when the world says you can't. I say we need those types of experiences at home.
Amen. They're very few and far between for most. Amen. Not a, I mean, the truth is, not many people, a lot of people don't even have a devotion at home. Amen. They have no Bible reading. Hey, amen. I'm afraid to say about the only Bible reading some folks get is on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night when the pastor reads the scripture text. Hey, amen. About the only prayer some folks get is when we call everybody in the altar and they come down, they pray just a few moments and they go back to their seat. It ought not be that way, child of God. I said, it ought not be that way tonight. I said, we ought to be seeing the fire of God, not only in the church house, but in our houses. Amen. You think about this, and a lot of folks probably say, well, Ezekiel had it made. Amen. The Bible said that he was a priest. Amen. In Ezekiel 1, in verse number 3, it said, Ezekiel, a priest. Amen. He was a man of God.
Amen. But Ezekiel wasn't in the sanctuary like other priests. Amen. He was out in the street. God called him to be a watchman. And for 22 years, he proclaimed judgment and redemption. He proclaimed damnation to those that turned their back on God. And he proclaimed restoration to those that would turn back to God. Amen. He walked up and down those streets. He shaved his head. He shaved his beard. He laid upon his side. Amen. For many days, as he talked about the, amen, the Lord and his ways, he proclaimed it to those people. But he was not walking down the streets of Jerusalem. He was not walking in his homeland. But he was in captivity in Babylon. He was an exile in the midst of an enemy. Amen. Can you imagine far away from home? Nobody would ever see if it turned his back on God. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He could probably say, I got a better deal. This bunch of backslidden folks have got us caught up down here in Babylon. Amen. Surrounded by the enemy. Amen. The king of Babylon and all his people. We've become servants in a strange land. Amen. Could it be when the psalmist wrote that Ezekiel might have known something about the children of Israel hanging their hearts on the willow and weeping by the riverside? I very well could be. And here they were in exile among the enemy. But amidst all of that, he had an experience and a vision from God. Amen. I thought about Daniel. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar and all those others are trying to do away with them. But every day Daniel went face towards Jerusalem. And out of that open window he made supplication. He prayed and sought the great God of heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, in a strange land, we are pilgrims. Amen. We are just passing through. But I thank God I can feel heaven while I'm here. I thank God I can have an experience even in the midst of the enemy. Amen. While the world encamps around about us and taunts the church and says God's not real, I've come to tell somebody tonight. I know by experience. It's not just a hearsay. It's not just something that I read. It's not just something that I heard preached. But I had an experience. Amen. Knowing that he's alive and that is real. Amen. You can't tell me that God's dead. You can't tell me you can't feel him. You can't tell me. Amen. I felt him in the car coming home. I felt him going to work this morning. Amen. Somewhere up on New Buckeye. I prayed through the Holy Ghost, came down, began to speak in tongues in that old truck. I'm telling you, it's real. I said, it's genuine. And you and I can have that type of experience. Amen. I said we can have that type of experience. Oh, hallelujah. That homeless man came in and things going through my mind how to try to help him. I felt so lost. I thought about calling this brother. Amen. Brother Sargent that has experience. But I thought to myself, amen, he probably can give me a wealth of knowledge. He probably can tell me what to do and how to do it. But I don't need Brother Sargent. I don't mean that bad. I don't need his advice altogether. Amen. I might still get some of it. But what I need to do first and foremost is get along with God and see what God says about it. And I'm glad I can have that opportunity. I'm glad that I can reach out and touch him in this hour. Amen. I mean, here was Ezekiel. He was in a place surrounded by enemies. And there were the elders of the church. Amen. They come gathered round. Amen. One commentary said, they come to tell him to hush up. Amen. Stop telling that Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. I mean, the Jews had it in their thick heads that no matter what happened, Jerusalem wasn't going down. Amen. Ezekiel and Jeremiah prophesied different, that it was going to fall. And that it did. did. Amen. Later on in chapter number 8, he saw some people that were behind the wall. Amen. The secret dark chambers of the sanctuary. And there they were worshiping false gods. Amen. There they was offering incense to the gods of Babylon. He did not say it was the young people. He did not say it was the women of the church. He said it was the ancients of the house of Israel. Amen. Those elders. Amen. There he was surrounded by a bunch of hypocrites. By people that were saying one thing, but living another way. Have you ever heard somebody say, I ain't going to go to church? Ain't nobody but hypocrites there. But I'm going to tell you the sad truth. There's probably a hypocrite. Amen. Maybe more than one in every church you go to. But I have made up my mind if it's full of hypocrites. If nobody else wants to come, if nobody else wants to serve the Lord, I'm going to have an experience myself. Amen. I'm going to get along with God. And when it comes down to it, I'm going to be able to say, I had that experience. Amen. Peter had in his house, and the Bible said that his mother-in-law was healed right in the house where he dwelled. Amen. The Bible said it was noise that Jesus was where? In the house. And people came around to see what was going on. I wish somebody could drive by my house and says that's where the Lord dwells. Amen. You better not go up in there. You better not stop if you don't want to hear preaching. If you don't want to feel the power of God. I'm telling you, we need those types of experiences.
Amen. You know, we're that little dab of do you. Amen. We got our 1-year Bibles. We got our devotionals. I got about every devotional you can think of. Amen. I got some on the Confederate, on the Civil War. I got some on World War I, World War II. I got some on the Revolutionary War. Amen. I've got Streams in the Desert. I got God Post devotionals. And I collect stuff like that. Got good stories in them. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having a 1-year Bible and reading through the Bible in 1 year. But all of a sudden we become mighty religious because we've got that 1-year Bible and that devotional. And we do our little part. Amen. We say our little prayer and go on about our business. I don't believe that's what God's looking for. Amen. Brother Rusty Johnson said one time. Amen. One man said, that's impossible. Amen. Brother Rusty Johnson told me, said, Brother Jim, if you want to pray, amen, pray till you pray through to the Holy Ghost every day. Amen. Some say, well, you can't do that. Well, I know life is busy, and it gets a little harder, but I'm telling you what, if you spend enough time in prayer, I say more than likely you're going to pray through. Amen. More than not. It comes easy to a man that's accustomed. Amen. It seems like. Amen. It comes a whole lot faster to a man that's already been in prayer and has experienced agonizing and talking to God. I want that type of experience. Hey man, you read about Solomon. I was reading here the other day about Solomon. I know the story. I have known it since I've been in church, heard about it. And the Bible said that it was in that temple and they dedicated it to God. Oh, how God moved. Hey man, Solomon prayed that big eloquent prayer. How God, we needed God and all these things. The Bible said the priests weren't able to minister because of smoke, fill the temple. I mean, think about that. But a few chapters later, as you read, and the Bible said that Solomon began to worship idols, or those women that he had worshiped idols. What was it? Amen. 700 wives, 300 concubines. Amen. And the Bible said that Solomon's heart was turned because he loved many strange women. I mean, how do you go from having a move like you had in the temple,
amen, to going to having his heart turned away from God. Amen. By women from other countries and other nations that worship other gods. I tell you what. Amen. This is mine. Right here, Brother Jim. Chapter 1, verse 1. Commentary on that. If Solomon had had the same thing in the palace. Amen. That he had in the house of God. And kept his mind concentrated on God. Amen. One verse he's asking for wisdom and knowledge. To judge the people. And God rewards him. Amen. A few chapters later, his eyes is off the prize. He's got his eyes on something else instead of the Lord. I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we can shout right off the pew and backslide, go to hell, because we have no foundation. We have no experience. Amen. We're raising a generation. We've got a church world that knows how to sing the songs of Zion. Amen. You open up the hymnal and say page 57. They know it's Amazing Grace. They don't have to have the words. If I was to start singing tonight, let's have a little talk with Jesus. I'd say 100% of you wouldn't have to get a book. You know what it is. Amen. We know the song. We know the sermon is. Amen. But a lot of folks are sitting in a church house that lack experience. Amen. Brother Jim, how do you get it? I tell you how you get it. You get on your knees. Amen. You pray. Till you get a hands-on experience with God.
Amen. You know, I have felt the urge at times to pray harder. I'm normally praying. Today was one of those times that I felt it going down the road. And God deal with my heart. I begin to press into prayer. Little did I know, a couple hours later, ma'am's going to stand in front of me, ask me questions. If I hadn't prayed, I couldn't answer it. Amen. If I hadn't prayed, I might have had the wrong spirit to answer them with. Come on now. Amen. That flesh rises up. It says, say one thing. But the spirit of God that moves, they say another. Amen. I mean, I turned around. I rebuked him when he walked out. I'm so tired of hearing. You know, I've been guilty of it. You look at somebody and you, huh, oh, they're stupid. They got their self. Hey, man, I'm finding out the more I pray, the more I get a hold of God, folks don't look so stupid. I'm seeing them as deceived, Brother Josh. Deceived.
Their eyes are blinded by the God of this world. Amen. You know what they think their answer's in? Amen, TJ. They think their answer's in a bottle somewhere. Amen. I talked to somebody about that man today. Said when he can't get food, I've seen him dig it out of the garbage can. I've seen him getting leftovers and folks dropped them out. Oh, I thought, how low can you go? Amen. They eat somebody else's leftovers. What they didn't want, what they discarded. But sin'll take you farther than you want to go. But I thought, if anything, yes, I'll try to help him out. Amen. With monetary things. But if anything, if I can get enough of God, if I can pray hard enough, if I can get a hold to it just right, amen, I'd better show him that Jesus is alive and Jesus is well. Amen. You know how I can tell him, amen, that Jesus can save? I know by experience. How can I tell him that God can clean a man up and make him a new creature? I know by experience. How can I tell him, amen, that God can take a drunkard and make him a Holy Ghost filled saint of God? I know by experience.
Amen. Amen. I was talking to that man today. I said, sir, I ain't never been homeless, but I've been where you at in some ways. I can tell you there's a way out. You know, he gave me that nod folks give you. Yeah, Pastor. I know there's a way out. He walked off and I thought, that ain't sinking in. I'm going to bug him till it does. Amen. I know where you're at now.
Amen. I got my bearing set. Come on now. I thought, man, if I could invest some time in him, amen, invite him to church, invite him to my house to come and eat, amen, show him I ain't even just to have a number on the board, but I'm trying to get him help. I'll be a friend to him. I thought about I could love him so much, Sister Linda. I didn't say, hey, I want what that boy got. Amen, I want something like that. And then he could get up and testify. I once was bound. Amen, but now I'm free. I heard the preacher tell it, but now I know by experience. Amen, I'd like to see somebody get a hold to it. And it shakes the walls of your home. It shakes the very foundation, amen, that you're living on. Shakes up your world. Wakes you up in the midnight hour. And you begin to realize there's more to this thing than just coming to church and praying a little prayer. We need that type of experience.
Amen. I ain't bragging. I'm going to tell you, my wife can tell you, I don't know a night in the past 8 years I've slept all the way through. And then I wake up, people on my mind. I've been guilty, Sister Linda. Turn right back over and going to sleep. Here late, I said, Lord, I'll get up. It's just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever it's going to be. I'll pray till you remove the burden. Oh, I beg the Lord. Lord, don't let me sleep through. Don't let me sleep through your harvest. I'll rest when I get there. I'll rest when I get there. Oh, church, I'm telling you, we can have more than what we got. It's going to take getting an experience. It's going to take getting an experience. Stand to your feet. Me and my uncle ain't always got along. You know that. I don't agree with everything he's done in life. He probably don't agree with everything I've done in life. I lived in a man's house for a year. It's very seldom. Very seldom. You hear that old voice moving out in the den late at night calling somebody's name in prayer. Calling somebody's name in prayer. I'm telling you, church, and we talk about how tired we are, weary. And I know there's so much you can do physically. And folks get exhausted and they get tired. I do. You do. And when I think about that, I've been trying to remind myself, man, when he fell, that cross on his back, I'm glad Simon picked it up for him. I guarantee you 100% he'd have carried it himself if he had to. He'd have sucked it up. He'd have sucked it up. He went all the way to the cross. I'm glad old Simon stepped out and said, hey, hey man, you want to crucify somebody? I'll throw my lot in here with him. Do what you want to. I know that compelled him. He could have ran. You know, I probably would have. I mean, the truth is, I probably would have had fear what they'd do to me for being associated with him. I'm telling you tonight, God's got a purpose for us. There's so much more we could be doing for the Lord that's going to take getting a hold to it, not just here, but at home. I challenge you as we get ready to come pray, I challenge you to push yourself in devotion. I challenge you to push yourself in prayer and see won't your life change. See won't your life change. Everybody with us, come gather in tonight and pray. Ask God to help us. Ask God to move.